teaching as I have done.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Amen. 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 This was after the flood. Hallelujah. I believe to commemorate this particular experience, Noah had to build an altar unto the Lord. And as he built the altar, hallelujah, he did some sacrifice upon the altar. So we understand that altar is a place of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Altar speaks of a place of death, of killing something to offer it to some deity, to some god. So altar represents a place of sacrifice. Hallelujah. It represents a place of death. Not only that, we also saw from that scripture that altar speaks of a place where curses are released. Amen. Is it not so? He said, I will not curse the ground anymore. Hallelujah. In other words, it's also a place where curses can be what? Removed. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a place where curses can be placed. It's also a place where curses can be what? Removed. In a place you can cancel curses. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. I thought you would be happy for that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It is also a place where you can establish the intentions that you want to be made. When that offering was offered, he says that from now henceforth, hallelujah, that there shall be no what? Sorry, verse 22. What did he say there? Verse 22. He says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not what? Cease. Is a place where you can establish certain principles, certain authority can be asserted upon the altars. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So, altar is a place where we can also receive a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a place where blessings can be pronounced and released. We are going to look at a few scriptures to be sure that we are getting it right. And like I said, it's a place where you can reverse. You can reverse a curse, or you can reverse a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And also, I discovered that altars are where messages and messengers can be sent. Hallelujah. Messages and messages can proceed. They can proceed from an altar. Hallelujah. We are going to see scriptures that establish this. Hallelujah. Amen. And also I want to say that altar represents the soul of man. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Your soul, my soul, is an altar. We are going to look at scriptures. You can see how we are progressing with it. We just want to, you know, we talk about keywords. But this shows that the thought process. The soul of man is an altar. We also discover that altars also represent nature. Hallelujah. Altars represent nature. Because when an altar is built, it bears a name. Hallelujah. For that altar to be worthwhile, there must be a name. And the things that operate on that altar operate according to that name. According to the nature. According to the name that is given to it. Hallelujah. So let's take it downwards up. Let's go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Read verse, I think that's verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it what? Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. That is the nature of that altar. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Hallelujah. When this altar was built, he called it Jehovah Nissi. He says why he's calling it Jehovah Nissi is that because he has sworn that he's going to make war with Amalek from what? Generation to generation. Hallelujah. In other words, causes are also established not just for one generation, but what? From generation to generation. Are you with me, brethren? You don't seem to be. Hallelujah. Is the word very strange? Amen. Praise God. He says he has sworn that he is going to deal with Amalek from generation to generation. Altars established. They establish not just the nature or the name, but it is also where events or things that take place upon the altar, they exist from generation to what? Generation. I want you to get that. Hallelujah. It must be established in our hearts. And that is why we cannot treat altars, you know, anyhow. Because the things that affect our lives, they are things that are not just coming from this generation. They may be coming from generations that have, you know, that have gone before us. Hallelujah. Or after us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's also go to Genesis 33, verse 20. Genesis 33 or verse 19. It says, and he bought a parcel of land, a parcel of field, that is Jacob here, where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. He called that altar. He called it El Elohi. He gave it a name. Hallelujah. Amen. I think that means Jehovah that is mighty. Hallelujah. The God of Israel that is mighty. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the nature of that altar. Praise God. Now let us look at Genesis 12. Altars are established for memorial. Hallelujah. It is not just for generation to generation, but it is for memorial. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at verse 7 there. from 6, it says, and Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the place of Moreh, and the Canaanites was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built that altar, and it is a memorial commemorating the place where the Lord appeared unto him. Hallelujah. And in certain places they will say that this altar is there unto this day. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Then we'll take another scripture, Genesis 22, to show that it is a place of sacrifice. It is a place that involves blood. It is a place that involves death. Remember the case, hallelujah, of Abraham offering up Isaac. Let's take verse 9. You know the whole story. And they came to the place which God has told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord appeared. Now, the altar that Abraham established, the intention was to sacrifice his son Isaac upon that altar. Therefore, altars are places where you offer sacrifice, where you offer sacrifice, where you bring blood. Hallelujah. And he did that because God demanded and instructed him that he wants his son Isaac. So he had to do it. Hallelujah. Now, you must understand that in the process of building the altar, a lot of things are involved, which we are going to come into later. It involved the mind. It involved the heart of Abraham himself. Is it not so? Are we together? Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell us that there are types of altars. We have types of altars. Hallelujah. There are altars. We have altar of curses. There are altars that are meant for curses. Hallelujah. Amen. That is, the altar is built to offer curses. And as we talk about this, I want you to, you know, cast your mind back to the village where you come from. There are altars that are built solely to release curses. Let's go to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. Look at verse 29. Is it 29? 8. It said, and the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take the carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raised thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Amen. And Moses, the as the Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man had lifted up his any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. Amen. Okay, just go down, you see where we are going. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side, the ark, and on that side before the priests of the Levites, before the priests the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over Mount Ebal, as Moses has commanded. Then we are going to move that. I just want you to note Mount Ebal. That was where this altar was built, on Mount Ebal. Now, what happens on Mount Ebal? Hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. It's like a continuation there. Take it from verse 11. It says, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. In other words, we also have altars of what? Blessing. Hallelujah. Then to bless the people, when you are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and they shall stand upon Mount Ebal to do what? To curse. Are you with me? Are you following the trend? In Joshua, an altar was built on Mount Ebal. Joshua raised an altar on Mount Ebal. Hallelujah. There is Mount Gerizim, but on Mount Ebal, an altar was built. And the intention of that altar that was built on Mount Ebal is to release a curse. Hallelujah. It says, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say what? Amen. That is it. And if you go down, there are several curses for various acts of disobedience, of flouting the law of God. The point we want to establish is that there are altars that are altars are meant to release curses. Hallelujah. Amen. Then there are also altars that are meant to bless them. If you read down where we have just read, you discover that altar was also raised to bless. Hallelujah. Let me look at... I think is that verse 12, and that is to bless on Mount Gerizim, to bless the people. Okay, so there are altars that are built for blessing. So we have altars of curses, we have altars of blessing, we also have religious altars. There are altars that are raised for just religious purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at 1 Kings chapter 12. First Kings chapter 12. From verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. And he was doing this because the people were going over. So he wanted to raise an altar that is closer and nearer, so that the people will not go over and come regroup to dethrone him. Amen. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise God. In fact, from verse 25, it said, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Build thy gods. Behold thy gods. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, and on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Praise God. Now you can notice that in this altar, he neither called it the altar of God nor the altar of Baal. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? It's a religious altar. Amen. I want you to take your mind back into several altars that we find today, even in the church. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, the Roman Catholic had taken it a step further. They have altars in their homes. True or false? Hallelujah. Amen. It's religion. Hallelujah. It has nothing to do with God. And we also notice from what we have read that altars are, they are places of what? Worship. Hallelujah. Men go to worship. Hallelujah. In fact, in Acts, they erected an altar, and you know what they called the place? This altar was named to the unknown God. Hallelujah. Amen. So it is a religious altar. And God seeks to deal with religion from our hearts. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But we also have altar of Baal. And I don't know whether you know that Baal also talks of Lord. Master. Hallelujah. Amen. So it has a very close relationship with religious altar. Hallelujah. So the next altar is altar of Baal. We can read from 1 Kings 16. We're taking our time to lay the foundation so that we understand where we're going. altar of Baal. Baal is a lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 16. Let's read from verse 30 to 33. He says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took a wife. He took wife Jezebel. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a groove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Amen. So there is an altar of Baal, and we know that Baal represents that which is contrary to God. Baal is the spirit of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we also have the altar of God. God has an altar. Hallelujah. He has an altar. Hallelujah. Second Chronicles. Let's look at chapter 6. We'll just take 2 verses from there. Or 3. The Lord therefore had performed his word that maybe I have to use iPad so I can get some light. The Lord therefore had performed his word that he has spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and I am set on the throne of Israel. Hallelujah. This is Solomon speaking at the dedication of the temple. As the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, that he made with the children of Israel. Wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he had made with the children of Israel. And he stood before the altar of the Lord, in the presence of all congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hand. He stood before the altar of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the altar that he has built, what gave it the power, what gave it the authority, was because the ark of the Lord was there. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are 5 altars, 5 different types of altars. Hallelujah. There is a 6th one, and which is the altar of my soul. My soul is an altar. We are going to get into that later, because it is very, very important. Hallelujah. To look at it. Hallelujah. Now, for every altar, there is a priest. For every altar, there must be a priest. If not, altar cannot service itself. There is somebody that must service it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So for Rehoboam, like we saw, he made priests. He appointed priests to oversee the altar he has made. Hallelujah. For altars of Baal, we know they have their prophets. For God, he also has priests that administer unto the altar. Amen. These are all types. These are all types. But we are coming to the reality, because altar those days were physical objects, physical entity. They are physical components. Some are made with wood, some are built with stones. Hallelujah. And even the description of the stone is also given. Now, for one, he said that iron will not touch that type of stone. Amen. Hallelujah. So there are physical components. Altars have physical attributes. Hallelujah. Now, we are not going to dwell so much on the physical. We are going to talk about the spiritual and the implication it has upon our lives. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Let's go to Judges. What has made many to be defeated is because there is an altar, hallelujah, that is remotely controlling their lives. And God is not going to do anything until that altar is destroyed. Because altars, they have voices, they speak. Altars speak. Hallelujah. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Okay. Maybe to convince us, look at Revelation chapter 16. For out of the altar, voices began to rise. Revelation 16. Verse 7 says, and I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgment. From the altar proceeding a voice. Here is the voice of God coming forth. Now, if the voice of God is coming forth through an altar, it is also possible that an altar, the devil is uttering his voice through an altar. Hallelujah. Things are spoken on altars, and they begin to respond, and they begin to speak, and they begin to affect the lives of men. As this world was altered by God, it began to affect the lives of man even till today. Hallelujah. So also when the voice from the altar of God begins to speak, it begins to affect the lives and behaviors of men. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And like I said, to be able to come to the place of victory, to be able to come to the place where we break through, hallelujah, there are certain requirements, there are certain demands that must be met before we can break through. Hallelujah. Go to Judges chapter 6. Let's go with me to Judges chapter 6. You know of a man called Gideon. Gideon was a man that had a heart for God. He was so burdened for his people. And the burden so troubled him, the man was cast down. He was really dejected because of the things that were coming upon Israel. Now I want to tell you that certain altars are activated when there are elements of disobedience and rebellion. Hallelujah. In fact, they are given a lot of power and authority to begin to operate. Hallelujah. Praise God. So for the life of Gideon was there worried about his people and about the servitude and the slavery that they have found themselves because of the Moabites and the invasion of Israel at that time. He was so worried. Hallelujah. The Bible said there was so much impoverishment. There was so much slavery. So much hardship that came upon the people. And Gideon was worried. Hallelujah. And he wanted to bring deliverance to Israel. He desired it, I must say. And God found in him to be worthy, to be an instrument he can use in that hour to do that job. But Gideon was incapacitated. He wouldn't be able to do that. God knew his limitation, and God had to say, listen, there is something you must do to be able to obtain victory and to be able to break through in this circumstance. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe, brethren, that we all have the same kind of worry and anxiety in our heart concerning the situations that we go through. Hallelujah. And I believe that Gideon never took another look at the things that are responsible for the situation that he found himself. Sometimes you think they are remotely controlled, but I can tell you there may be things that are very close to you that the Lord wants you to identify and begin to deal with them. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Gideon, an angel of the Lord had to come to him and began to speak to him and began to instruct him. But look at what happened. Amen. Look at verse 24. After the angel instructed and spoke with him, and he ministered and did all that he did, verse 24 says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah at the Abizarites. Amen. He built an altar. But that is just the beginning of the story. Hallelujah. He built an altar. But this altar, hallelujah, is still there to do. It speaks about peace. But how can you have peace, hallelujah, when there are altars in your father's house that you must deal with? Hallelujah. And you know, many of us have come under this deception that when once you are born again, everything is all right. Everything is going to be peaceful. You are not going to have any trouble anymore. Hallelujah. But I tell you, Gideon did not understand this. And many of us don't understand it. Why am I having so much trouble? And yet I have given my life to Jesus. Why am I going through all this? Now there is something extra that you must do. There is a demand that you must meet. Hallelujah. If you must break through into a place of victory, and if you must come to a place where you conquer your enemies, there are things you must do. Hallelujah. Just go with me down that same chapter, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the groves that is by it. Hallelujah. The verse preceding that, he said he built an altar. He called it Jehovah Shalom. By the time he was done with that, God now came in and said, listen, go to your father's house and throw down the altar in your father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. Why did God have to tell him that? He was telling him that, listen, you have no peace until you bring down this altar. Hallelujah. It will still trouble you if you don't do anything about it. Peace will be denied you if you don't go to your father's house and bring down the altar that is found there. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, I believe that that is what God is saying to us. There are altars. And like I said, it is not merely a physical structure. It is a spiritual instrument. It is a spiritual thing. It is not something that is merely physical, but it has a spiritual angle to it, a spiritual dimension that we must look at and deal with. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that going physically to destroy altars in your father's house is wrong, but I'm saying that the spiritual dimension is much more important. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord God upon the top of this rock in the other place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Hallelujah. What was God saying? God was telling me that first altar you did is not really, it's not really relevant. This is the altar you are going to build. After you have destroyed the altar in your father's house, then you can build an altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't know whether we are following this story. Hallelujah. You are not going to achieve anything done out of flesh. Oh yes, it sounded nice to build an altar unto the Lord. Call it Jehovah Shalom. It's very nice. But listen, that one, put it aside. I want you now, after you have destroyed the altar in your father's house, then you are going to build me an altar. Hallelujah. That was what God was telling him. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. So it was because he feared the father's household and the men of the city that he would not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this? Who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash had done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be cut up, be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one had cut down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. His father said, listen, now, I mean, there is a big twist here. Hallelujah. His father was the custodian of this altar. And he came in the night and brought it down. I was thinking that his father was going to flare up and deal with him. That I believe that God must have seen, or the man must have seen the powerlessness of this altar. Hallelujah. And he told him, he said, listen, if you guys are pleading and arguing for Baal, then tomorrow morning we are going to deal with that. If Baal cannot rise up and deal with the man who has done this. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, what we're trying to establish here is that by the act of bringing down this altar, the way into victory was paved for Gideon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And here you can see very clearly that Gideon understood to some elements, to some extent, the part that other people had to play in doing that. He wasn't going to do it alone. Hallelujah. Not that he wouldn't have been able to do it alone, but he had to gather people, and they went and they did that by night and brought it down. That is for another day's discussion. But the fact is that without Gideon bringing down the altar of Baal in his father's house, there is no how God was going to use him to accomplish what he accomplished. Hallelujah. Many of us are held back because there are things that are remotely controlling our lives. We cannot be used as instruments to accomplish the purpose of God because there are things that are standing on the way. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you try to raise up your head, they come, they cut you down. Hallelujah. And by the time you know it, things begin to happen in your lives, or in our lives, that are contrary to the will and to the purpose of God. Hallelujah. By the time we cut down the altar, we receive a mandate to go forth and to do the will of God fearlessly. Hallelujah. Amen. Fearlessly, we can do the will of God, and no spirit is able to come. If we are unable to deal with it, then we must be prepared. A lot of battle, a lot of things will begin to happen. I have seen men who refuse to deal with the altars in their father's houses, Hallelujah. They are cut down. Down the loins, the issue of fornication, adultery begin to come. Hallelujah. And you see a man begin to behave in such a manner that is contrary to what he first believed, because he refused to deal with the altar in his father's house. Hallelujah. For any man to be used of God, he must be ready to deal with the altars. Hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Samuel. There was something that happened in Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 24. It's an interesting story. What happened here, I think somehow we may have to read all of it. What happened here was David, he went and numbered the people. And because he numbered the people, there was plague. Hallelujah. Many people were dying. Many were dying. Many were perishing. Hallelujah. And the Lord had to give an instruction on what should be done. Hallelujah. Let's take it from verse 10. He says, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Amen. And when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say unto David, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So God came to David and told him and said unto him, "Shall 7 years of famine come upon thee in thy years of famine in thy land? Sorry. Or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me." And David said unto God, "I am in a great strait." Hallelujah. And David said unto God, "I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed. And there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. That is, just in one day, 70,000 went down. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, "It is enough. Stay now thy hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people, and said, "Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house." And God came that day to David and said unto him, "Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arana the Jebusite." And David, according to the saying of God, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arana looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arana went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arana said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague might be stayed from the people." And the rest he did. And he bought the land, Hallelujah. He went to give it to him for free. He said, no, he is not going to buy anything that does not, you know. Amen. Okay. But the point was that immediately he built the altar, the wrath of God was stayed. Hallelujah. Are we together? Hallelujah. Amen. Even though the Lord had told the angel to stop. Hallelujah. But I believe God was looking at his heart. Looking at the heart of David. And was responding according to the thoughts of David's heart. David really, really was sorry for what he had done. And he was making a move. Hallelujah. And the move was that he told him, listen, this is what you are going to do. And he went. And immediately he built an altar unto the Lord. The plague was stayed permanently. What are we talking about, brethren? Hallelujah. Amen. There is an altar that must be built. That must stay the plague. That must stay all that is afflicting the people of God. There is an altar that is required in this hour. For us to break through into the place of healing and deliverance. There is an altar that must be raised. Hallelujah. It has been of rebellion. It has been of disobedience. But God in this hour wants an altar to be raised unto him. Hallelujah. So that all that is afflicting the church. Hallelujah. The sicknesses, the diseases, the decay and the death might be stayed. There is an altar that the Lord is requiring from his people in this hour. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 13. Chapter 13, we take it from verse 1. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, you know, sometimes you really need to take a look at the background of certain people. I don't know whether you know the way Jeroboam came into the scene. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeroboam was a servant somewhere. Hallelujah. And somehow he got to, you know, an industrious person. He was doing well. God saw him and picked him. He did not even merit his position. He had nothing to do with the issue of lineage at all. He came into the scene because Rehoboam began to, you know, mess around. And God had to, as it were, divide the kingdom and give some to Judah, to him, and the rest he gave unto Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, when Israel was in trouble, he ran away. They went and got him from Egypt and brought him back. And the man forgot where he was coming from. And he forgot the kind of tradition that was established in the land of Israel. And he began to build altars and began to, you know, establish Hedonic worship in the land of Israel. Anyway, verse 2 says, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. This is Jeroboam speaking to an altar. Hallelujah. You know, he was such an ignorant man. Hallelujah. He didn't know really what he was doing. He began to play around with the altar and thought it was one of those things. And that is how we all play around. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember the sons of Sceva? They were playing around with the holy things of God. Calling upon. Hallelujah. Amen. And you saw the way they were disgraced. The same thing is happening here. Hallelujah. Jeroboam began to call upon the altar of the Lord. A man that knew not God. A man that was living in rebellion. A man that went and established another form of an altar so that he will be in competition and reduce the activities of people moving about, departing from him. He just did anything he liked. And here, he opened his mouth. He said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Joshua by name. He was prophesying. Sorry, Isaiah prophet. Isaiah the prophet. Hallelujah. He said, "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Joshua by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold the altar. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And it came to pass, while the king Jeroboam heard the saying, hallelujah, amen, of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not put it in again to him. You know, as he just pointed and began to speak to the altar, hallelujah, his hand dried. What are we trying to say? There is power in some altars, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There are powers in altars. So don't use and play it. Altars have powers. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Therefore, it is important for us to understand the role that altars play. And by the time he talked to the man of God again, pleaded with him, the man of God spoke and his hand was restored. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, coming down to the brass tacks of this matter, we're talking about the issue of altars, and altars that have to do with the altars of the mind. Because out of this altar, there are projections. There is such an enormous power that is, you know, released. Hallelujah. The altar of the mind is very, very powerful. All that we have read to show you that we can obtain victory through pulling down altars. We can obtain breakthroughs when we deal with certain altars. There is so much power speaking about altars. So that when we talk about this, we are talking in relation to the altars of our minds. And we are saying that the altars of our minds are very, very powerful. I don't know whether you know that. The mind is very, very powerful. Hallelujah. And the mind can accomplish most of these things that have been described in this place. Hallelujah. The mind can obtain victory. If rightly positioned, he can obtain victory for you. As a matter of fact, man can be healed by the power of the mind. Deliverance can come to a man by the power of the mind. Man can pull down the forces of evil and darkness by the power of the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. But I can also warn you, there are laws that control the operation of the mind. Hallelujah. And when we break away from this law, we begin to do that which is contrary to the will and to the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know that the mind is central in all of the activities of the soul. The mind has a prominent part to play in all of the activities that have to do with the soul. As a matter of fact, the mind is the very door that opens up to the soul. Hallelujah. The mind is the coordinating power on all the other components of the soul. As a matter of fact, the rest of the soul bow down to the mind. They receive commands and instructions from the mind. And when we don't know this, brethren, we get into trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, we are saying tonight, brethren, that there is so much enormous power. Right from the time man fell. Hallelujah. The power that had to do with this altar was limited, was cut short. That is not able to exercise itself to the fullest. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, someone writing, I think it was Wotman Nee, he was talking about the latent power of the soul. And in it, he was describing what happens to the soul of man. the things that God have done, that and have said that there is an extent that the soul can operate or the mind can work. And we're saying tonight that we're speaking about the mind, the altar of the mind, that is what controls the activities of my humanity. That is what is in charge. That is what controls the things that I do and the things that I say and the things that I desire. That is what controls my lifestyle. The things that happen right on this altar is what determine how far I can go with God. Hallelujah. And God is saying that you better take a watch over this altar. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, Christ coming, he is coming to the soul through the door of the mind to establish his throne there. But right now there is an abomination that make it desolate, that is sitting over this mind, over this place, controlling it and dictating what it should do and what it should not do. And God is saying that this altar, this desolation must be cast down, must be dethroned. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we can be liberated to begin to take hold on our possession in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, there are many things that are required for the mind to be in that position where it can fully appropriate the power and the victory that is stated in the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Romans 12. Sorry. Romans 12. We'll deal with the practical steps of pulling down altars. There is physical attribute, like we have mentioned. We have physical areas, practically what we can do. Because those ones that are physical, they also have a way of affecting our lives and affecting the way we carry on from day to day. Amen. Hallelujah. But before we come to it, let's just go to Romans. From verse 1 is very key to this. Sorry? Yes. In the area of the mind. Hallelujah. So I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, hallelujah, there is an altar you must raise. Hallelujah. Where offering of living sacrifice is what? Offered. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we following? Amen. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you are presenting an offering that is dead and yet it is living. Hallelujah. You are placing it upon an altar. There is an altar you must place it on. Hallelujah. And he says that this sacrifice must be unto God. It must be living. It must be holy. It must be acceptable unto him. And he says that is our reasonable service. Hallelujah. In other words, he's speaking about righteousness. He's speaking about the type of life we live. A life that is fully surrendered, totally sold out unto him. That this is the kind of sacrifice he is going to accept. Hallelujah. I need to explain this further, that when we come to this point where we are totally sold out unto him, brethren, nothing, no request we make unto God that is impossible. Hallelujah. There is nothing that shall be impossible unto us. If a man is sold out unto God, hallelujah, he is not too careful anymore about himself. He has been totally sold out, given up unto God completely. And that is the demand that God is placing upon you and I in this hour. That we'll be totally sold out. Hallelujah. So that we'll begin to experience the power and the glory of God here on earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's no longer going to be talk. It's going to be an experience that is visible, tangible, that man can touch and feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The people that have gone before us, they presented themselves as living sacrifices. And we saw what God did with them. Especially when you read the Acts of Apostles, they were men that were totally sold out. And anyone that is not sold out is excluded from the plan and the program of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ananias and Sapphira is a typical example of men who were not sold out, and God had to exclude them from his own program. And I pray that we don't become like Ananias and Sapphira. God is saying, be sold out completely unto me as a living sacrifice. Place yourself upon the altar. Give up. Give up your ambition. Give up your desire. Give up the way of living. Give up your lifestyle. He said, give it up and I will show you my power and my glory. Hallelujah. And that is what God is demanding and asking us to do in this time. But we are holding on to it. We are still holding on to it. We are still working with it. We don't want to give up anything. I don't want to give up anything. Hallelujah. Our minds must come to the point where God says, if it comes to you and says, this one, I want you to leave it right now. I want you to resign your job, for I have an assignment for you. Will you be ready to do that? Hallelujah. That is what it means to be a living sacrifice. If God speaks right now to us, you know, I will be running around to get cancer. Hallelujah. Which is good. Hallelujah. But I can tell you, when God called Paul, the man who wrote this book, he says that I did not consult with what? Flesh and blood. Hallelujah. He went ahead and he did what God required of him. Hallelujah. For a heart that is sold out, that is what he's asking from us. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he said again, another way. Hallelujah. Because the solutions are there. They are just provided. The solutions are there. He said, and be not conformed to this world. Hallelujah. This is an offering we must bring. Conforming to the world is an offering. Something you and I must sacrifice upon this altar. If not, the power of God cannot be real. Hallelujah. As long as we are still having attachments here and there, things that are pulling us and things that have to do with the earthiness, then we cannot experience the power of God. This morning we heard God speaking about cutting off the head of Goliath. It must go. If not, we cannot have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Our own thoughts, our own imaginations, our own desires. He says he is placing his finger upon it in this hour. And I better warn the church, because the time has come when he is going to place so much demand upon you and I, because there is something in his heart that he desires to do in the years to come. Hallelujah. He is in a hurry. He is in a hurry to do certain things, to fulfill certain things in our time and in our generation. And you and I are those holding God back from doing it. Hallelujah. But I can also assure you that as many as are giving up, hallelujah, as many as are giving up in sacrifice, you will see the power of God move through them. Hallelujah. The anointing will flow through them. Hallelujah. And when it begins to happen, don't be jealous, because men are willing and ready to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, be not conformed to the... You know, when we read that, all that comes to our mind is the dressing. That is not all that is involved. That is the gospel of exclusivism. You exclude yourself from it. Oh, I don't dress like them. But what have you given up for him? What sacrifice are you making in the kingdom of God? What are you ready to surrender to him? Hallelujah. So be not conformed to this world. We just talk. We pursue things just like the people of the world. And God is bringing a correction and a rebuke to us. That if you want desire, hallelujah, to be this altar that I desire to use, upon which my name shall be upon, then you are better off by not conforming to the ways of the world. Hallelujah. He said, but be ye transformed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing. There is something God has to do. Hallelujah. In my mind, in this altar, there are things that need to come down. Hallelujah. There are things that need to be destroyed. Hallelujah. You know, I went somewhere. In fact, I think that is one of the things we, when brethren went to renovate MIS, the lower primary section. The same house. You look at the design. The same house. But what happened to it? It was transformed. I said, this is the same house. They did not break it down. What they did was to remove non-essential parts, recreate it, and it looked so beautiful. Hallelujah. It's not when we get to heaven that you get this transformation, brethren. It is here on earth. God is going to cut off the things that are not important. The non-essentials, the things we hold on to, adhere to, and hold tight to, He's going to destroy them. Hallelujah. Amen. And He's going to remodel us into His image and into His likeness. That is what He desires. Hallelujah. Practical ways God can do that, it is here. Hallelujah. As we hear His voice, He says, harden not your heart. Hallelujah. You hear His word, don't parry it to the corner. Apply it to yourself. Say, God, how can I respond to this? What am I going to do with this word you are giving me at this hour? Don't begin to look at other people. And that is where we miss it. Amen. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Many times we think so highly of ourselves. Hallelujah. So importantly of ourselves. We feel that we are so indispensable with God. Hallelujah. A life that is offered on this altar, hallelujah, will never think of himself more important than the other. Hallelujah. We think ourselves so important, hallelujah, that we become so unreachable. That includes me. And the extent for which you see a life that is totally sold out to God is the openness of the man. Look at David. You come to him and tell him that this is what God is saying. Hallelujah. I never knew that God was a prophet. But he came to him and began to speak to him. He listened to him and he began to respond. Yet he was a king. And many of us here, none of us is a king. And yet we are so unreachable. So unapproachable. It was a time came I had to begin to ask God. I said, God, why can't I be approachable? Deal with that personality within me. If truly I am the altar that must be offered up at this hour, then you must do something about this. Hallelujah. He said, let no man think so highly more than he... He said, think not of himself more highly than he ought to think. Better think soberly. Hallelujah. The recipe of bringing down this altar is there in the Word of God. I'm not going to manufacture it. I'll tell you what it is, what the Word of God says. And brethren, if we begin to take heed to it, God begins to walk and begin to move in our midst. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, for the funny reason, many times we come in a conference like this. Do you know why we cannot have thus says the Lord? Do you know why? It's because people are too careful that they are going to make mistakes. They are safeguarding their pride. Hallelujah. Why is it that many of us don't take initiative? Every time a few people carrying the burden, God is calling His people to rise, but you are sitting put. How can God use you? Because you don't want to ruffle feathers. You don't want anybody to touch you. Hallelujah. And God is calling us in this hour. Hallelujah. As a people that we must rise. Hallelujah. Amen. To be able to function in the body, and to stand where you ought to stand. Hallelujah. We must deal with the self-personality. And yet God is saying it in different ways. Many times He's saying it, saying the same thing all over and over. Hallelujah. Some of us will come, we'll just go to one corner. We just do our own thing. Hallelujah. And sometimes I ask myself, who do you really think you are? I ask myself, come on, who do you think you are? Have you really offered yourself up to God? Hallelujah. Who do you think you are? Hallelujah. And God is saying, listen, Isaac, I want you to come down. Just become, you know, a footmat. Yeah? A footmat that people can step upon. All I want to see is the revelation of my glory upon your life. Nothing else. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How much of God do we know? Hallelujah. Men that know God are men who are totally sold out. They can touch and feel God. Some of us desire to operate like on the level of Grover and the rest of them. But how much of God do we know? Hallelujah. There is a price to be paid, brethren. There is something we need to do that we're not doing. Something extra that we must do in this hour. And God is placing the onus upon you and I to begin to respond to that, to begin to inquire of Him. I'm expecting that we'll come to a conference like this and the glory of the Lord is so literal over the place. Hallelujah. But we're holding back. And God is saying, don't hold back. Offer it up all upon my altar. Give it up. Hallelujah. He wants to take hold of our minds, our thinking faculty, our intellect. He wants to take them over. Hallelujah. And when He takes it over, brethren, the uncommon will begin to take place in our midst. This act of playing religion and coming to church and playing around and meddling with deadly things will be a thing of the past. And when we come to church, we feel the life and the power of God moving in our midst, because lives have been sold out unto Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage us, brethren. Hallelujah. For this body must be functional, and the only way it can be functional is that altars must come down. Hallelujah. Many altars standing between us and the things that God wants to do. Many things, altars are standing between us and the victory He wants to give to us. Many altars are standing between us and the glory He wants to reveal. Hallelujah. And we better rise up and begin to deal with it. Amen. Amen. Now, somebody ask a question here. I just want to quickly answer it. There are certain physical structures that must come down. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But I think that a higher degree is on the level of my mind. Hallelujah. It all depends on me. Because you can go and bring down the altar in your father's house, and yet you remain and even got a worse situation than before. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I have seen it happen. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a cousin that, I think I have told you this story before. I had a cousin, his father was the custodian of the family idols. Hallelujah. His father was the custodian of the altar in the family. Hallelujah. I remember once, I think that was immediately after the war. His father would always bring sacrifice to this altar, and he would call everybody. But in this particular one, he called one man. He called a native doctor. And they were all at the altar, and they cooked chicken. The thing was boiling. Hallelujah. And as young people, we are called. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And they said we should remove our shirts. We removed our shirt, and they began to put mark. They put mark on my back. Hallelujah. There was an incision there, and blood came out. Praise God. When that was done, I didn't feel it was anything. But immediately I got born again, I know that that was an offering that was given. And I needed to do something about it. I began to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. I began to renounce whatever offerings that were made concerning me. I began to reject them. And I did that and I got deliverance. Amen. Now, the same man had all the high idols. There is a place he put the thing. And one of his sons got born again. Hallelujah. As soon as he got born again, he ran down from Agba where he was staying and came to the village and brought down his father's idols and went and burnt them. Immediately he did that, his father ran mad. His father lost his senses. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah. In other words, he didn't do the things he was supposed to do. Hallelujah. The mind of the man, his father was not even prepared. So he was attacked. And the man died, an insane man. Praise God. What am I trying to say? We can burn down the idols. We can burn down the altars. Physical structures, we can bring them down. But before you do that, the mind here must be set free. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can also tell you, it is he came and did it all of himself, all alone. But we have a pattern here, how Gideon did it. Is it not so? You call your brethren. If you want to bring down the altars in your father's house, you call your brethren. They will go and deal with it. As we went to Zoomini, we dealt a lot of that. Is it not so?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We dug up things from the earth. And the man is alive today. Is he not?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So there are practical steps we can take in dealing with idolatry in our father's houses. With the altars in our father, we can deal with them. But we deal with them according to how the Spirit of God leads us to do it. You don't just take an initiative and begin to do it. It might be a burden, but you can share it with people and you know how that can happen. But more importantly, the church has the ability. Hallelujah. Whether the idols are here in Port Harcourt or they are in your village, the church has the ability to destroy their effect and their power upon your life.
Amen.
We are not saying amen. You don't believe it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't believe it. Hallelujah. The church have the authority to cut short the transmission line between your village and you in the city.
Amen.
The church has the ability to do that. Amen. And we do it without any fear. Hallelujah. We do it without any intimidation whatsoever. Gideon went and he did it. And no intimidation. They rose up against it. God fought his battle for him. When you destroy the altars in your father's house, just wait. You are not the one to fight the battle. The Lord will fight the battle for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So I will end by saying, hallelujah. The altar of the mind is very, very crucial to any deliverance we are going to get on the realm of the physical. If your mind is not delivered, hallelujah. If the altar of your mind is not brought down, it is difficult, hallelujah, to bring down the altar in your father's house. That is the relationship and that is the connection. And God is saying, this altar of my mind is what is hindering me from breaking through into the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. Into the place of victory. It is my mind that is holding me back. But when once I yield it to the Lord, hallelujah. I think the scripture says somewhere, guard up the what? The loins of your mind. The loins of my mind must be girded up. Hallelujah. Before I can, in other words, receive strength in your loins. The guard, receive the ability to go forth. Hallelujah. And to deal with the issues. Praise God. I encourage us tonight. I don't know what the altars in your family might be. What it might represent for some people. Hallelujah. Altars are altars of poverty. Curses have been released upon this altar. Hallelujah. For some people, they are releasing curses from one family to another. Hallelujah. They are sending missiles. Hallelujah. Amen. And that brings me also to say that in the realm of the mind, this altar, I can send projections. I can send curses to people. I can send evil to people. I can manipulate people. Hallelujah. Witchcraft can proceed. Hallelujah. Sorcery can proceed from the realm of my mind, from this altar.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And God wants to change that and bring it down.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Evil thought, hatred, bitterness. They are all projections. They are all offerings. Hallelujah. That I, as a person, administer upon the altar of my mind. Because I open the door. Hallelujah. I open the door. Praise God. But God wants to bring that down today. God wants to bring it to an end. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Can we just stand for a minute? Hallelujah. And pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to know what projections. Hallelujah. What things that are released against you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What God cares about is you. He cares about you. He cares about me. He cares about the things I am sending forth from the realm of my mind. He cares about it. And He demands repentance. Hallelujah. One practical way we can bring down this altar in our mind is to repent. Do you find hatred in your mind? Do you find bitterness? What do you find? And the more we do that, the more we are releasing arsenals against men, against people. Hallelujah. And God wants to deliver us from it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. And after that, we will pray for the altars in our father's houses that have resisted us and have stood on our way and are controlling and remotely for some of us, all this we are offering, sometimes offerings, the things we gave during our marriages. Hallelujah. Amen. And we haven't taken time to address them. Some of the things we did in ignorance, we have not addressed them. We have not addressed them. Hallelujah. And they are acting as openings that the enemy is using to come against us. Hallelujah. Some are the words we have spoken with our mouth. Hallelujah. And the enemy is cashing on it and is using it to oppress us. But today, we can receive deliverance. I tell you a little story. When our first son was born, my wife was in labor for over, I think it was 24 hours. Hallelujah. And eventually the child was born. Born weak, limp. Hallelujah. And with God's intervention, he's strong. He's the one married today. But when Brother Bud came and we began to share, I began to tell him the experience. He said, there is an opening. And that door must be shut. Hallelujah. What was it? During the time, we haven't come to this understanding. During the time of our wedding, we get cartons of garden gin. they gave us a list and we fulfilled it. And immediately he said, there is an opening. I knew that that was what he was talking about. And he said, this opening must be shut. Hallelujah. Your own might be different. Hallelujah. It might be a different thing. But you must discover what was done. And that door must be shut. And tonight, if we shut the door, this affliction shall not return a second time. Amen. Let's begin to pray. Hallelujah. Let's begin to respond to God. Hallelujah. Altars must come down. Hallelujah. Altars of rebellion. Altars of Baal. Altars of religion. They must come down. Hallelujah. Spirit, move me now and make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life, make my life whole again. Spirit, Spirit, move. Oh, Holy Spirit, my life, make my life whole again. Masiyoto satana na na. Lien sofakula bena kasvan sarak na. Oh, over me, Spirit move. Oh, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Move me now. Oh, and make my life. Make my life. Oh.